This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A third night of violent protests in Minneapolis, seeing a police station and other nearby buildings set afire by demonstrators. The station evacuated. A helicopter had to save some of the officers who'd taken shelter on the roof of the building. Protests and riots have erupted across the Twin Cities, as well as in some other cities, in response to the death of George Floyd, who died while in police custody on Memorial Day. The lawyer for Floyd's family says they're not happy that the officers involved in his death have still not been charged.
George Floyd's family, who watched the press conference along with me, was disgusted.
Excessive heat warnings staying in effect throughout the Southwest as scorching temperatures have been soaring into the triple digits from Southern California to Nevada and Arizona. Temperatures will start to ease in California after today. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
A State Department official says it may be time to put a pause on U.S.-China relations. Morgan Ortega saying that things have changed now that China's made it clear that Hong Kong is not autonomous.
And this is just a complete rejection of the basic law that China agreed to, not only to Hong Kong into 1997, but I would remind everyone that this was a UN agreement.
She tells Fox News the recent actions taken by the Chinese Communist Party has already forced Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to say that he can no longer certify in good faith that China has followed through on that agreement. The Republican National Convention, wanting a full in-person convention in North Carolina as planned, has written Governor Roy Cooper with safety guidelines officials say they would put in place, asking the Democratic governor to approve the guidelines and let them know about anything else they'd have to do. The president threatening to move the convention if that state doesn't allow full attendance. And this is USA Radio News.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at GCNLive.com.
Reports are some people are mistaking their stimulus payments that they get in their mailboxes for junk mail and throwing them away. That's because they're in a plain white envelope that only says Money Network Cardholder Services. And there's not really a check inside. The IRS sending out prepaid debit cards instead. Nearly 4 million were mailed out last week. McDonald's employees in Oakland, California say managers there had them use coffee filters and dog diapers as face coverings at the start of the coronavirus pandemic. In a complaint signed by 23 Mickey D's workers, they said at least six of them ended up contracting the virus and spreading it to family members. They were given disposable masks later, but were told to use them for multiple days at a time. McDonald's workers in several cities went on strike last week, calling for further protections During the crisis, the owner of the Oakland restaurant said the claims of those alternative face coverings are simply not true. And a cognac more than 2 centuries old, making for one expensive drink. The 1762 bottle brought in $146,000 on an online auction yesterday. Sotheby's Auction House saying that it's one of the oldest cognacs out there, and only 3 bottles remain that are known of. And you can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing your day and ending the week on a positive note, even though there's a lot of negatives flying around. And we've got Dr. Wilfred Riley to help us out. He is the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And we're going to lay it all out. And I guess our 10 facts are growing these days in terms of things we cannot talk about that seem to be taboo. So we may have to write another chapter or a whole new book there, Dr. Riley.
Yeah, I've actually thought about doing that in terms of some of the things that have happened recently, from COVID-19 to ethnic rioting, that are also becoming kind of off limits for most conversation. But hopefully we'll be able to just put some of that in the second edition of the book rather than mm-hmm. having to sit down and write. Yeah, the total of 24 things you can't talk about.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot to be deciphered as to what's been happening here recently between Georgia and Minneapolis, Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd, the alleged murders at this point. I believe the city of Minneapolis, in conjunction with federal officials, are moving as quick as they can. And it's very difficult to move things along when you have professional agitators coming to town and, lighten up the place.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that strikes me most about the Arbery and Floyd narrative, well, there are two things. One is that everyone pretty much agrees that a bad thing happened here.
Yes.
So there's this attempt to paint mainstream conservatives or Republican voters or even men in some of the periodicals I've seen as kind of cold and uncaring. You know, people are ignoring the deaths of these black men, and that's not the case at all. I think pretty much anyone, especially anyone trained in violence, that's seen the Floyd video, that's looked at that policing, has said there's something very wrong here. I mean, these officers should almost certainly face charges. They've already been, at the order of the black police chief in Minneapolis, removed from the force. They've been fired. They've turned to their badges and their guns. So almost everyone has said this is a bad thing, and we're looking at a firing at minimum and probably criminal charges issuing against these guys. And it's the same thing in the Ahmaud Arbery situation. We now know, by the way, the narrative that, you know, these white Georgia men simply lynched an innocent jogger is complete BS. Arbery, the suspicion there was that there'd been a series of robberies and burglaries in the neighborhood, and Arbery, who may very well not have been the guy involved, was the person person suspected of this. So a sort of posse of the local men decided to chase the guy down and talk to him. Have you been breaking into this construction site? Are you the person responsible for taking these tools? Mm-hmm. That was a stupid decision, but this isn't the murder of someone just because they're African-American. At any rate, again, most people there think it's a dumb idea to settle a man-to-man dispute about a potential property theft by rounding up your shotgun and starting a gun battle with the guy. This isn't 1866. Mm-hmm. So nobody thinks that these things were well handled. Virtually nobody believes that there shouldn't be firings, there shouldn't be criminal charges. What's notable is how one side of the debate has turned this into an issue about brutal racism and nothing else. And this is particularly striking in the Minneapolis George Floyd case. I posted this on Twitter and was really the first person I'd seen to mention this. Mm-hmm. I just looked at public records as read the ethnicity of these police officers. Three of the cops involved, three of the cops involved, Lane, I believe, is mixed African-American and Caucasian, to the extent this matters, but were not white guys in the standard sense. Mm-hmm. Two of them, Tro and Kung, if I have the names correct, were Asian American. One of them, as far as I can tell, is a black officer, an officer of color. Mm-hmm. And one of them is a white guy, Siobhan. Mm-hmm. But the idea that this is an all-white policing team decided to brutalize this guy because he was black, not due to stupid overreaction to a sense of power, not due to possession of the badge. There's no evidence of that. So people are, to some extent, taking these tragic stories that everyone says are tragic stories and attempting to make them stories about the universal oppression of blacks or even Latinos. And that's not something that we've seen at the legal level in the United States for decades.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and you know, with the focus being, as you say, and you said it well, in terms of, you know, positioning this, how we can understand and how we need to look at it. This causes us to miss the point. When we mire into, just some old habits and old perspectives instead of, can we possibly get beyond this and look at the bigger picture here and the dehumanization of a fellow citizen? That's what's more dangerous to me is, that a police officer would have his knee on somebody's throat and when he's handcuffed and defenseless. And as other professional police officers have said, you've got him restrained. He should be in the car. He shouldn't be on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was in handcuffs at the point when that knee was applied to his neck. And in general, my understanding, if you're using that hold, is that you apply the knee to the base of the shoulder in the first place. I mean, no one is defending the policing here. I actually just pulled up the comment on this, which has the link to the officers. The guy I mentioned, I think I got the last name a bit wrong. It was Thao.
Yes.
A second officer is Kung, K-U-E-N-G. And I'm not absolutely sure on this, but I believe Lane, I'm not given first names here, but is African-American and Caucasian, just from the images and so on I've seen. But, I mean, so if that team of police is involved in the brutal restraint of this guy, those officers need to be punished for the brutal restraint of this guy. The question is, are they racist? And I don't see any particular reason to believe that. That's the default that would be said virtually any time an African-American guy is killed by police.
Right.
And two, is this indicative of some broader pattern of corrupt policing sweeping through our cities, Tammany Hall style? And I don't think there's any evidence of that. I mean, what you're saying, things often just are what they are. I mean, what you're saying, I think, is most people's default reaction to this. This looks like a case of police abuse. Why don't you fire these cops and probably press charges against these officers?
Yeah.
And that might well be, unless you have an external narrative, where you leave it.
Well, I think that, again, whenever anything like this happens, it behooves police organizations across the country just to take an evaluation. Don't just turn their back and say, well, it never happens here. I think that's something that, as you say, with somebody with a gun and a badge and a sense of authority, and they overstep, and somehow they forget that they're there to serve. And when you lose sight of your reason to exist in serving the community, then you step outside of yourself and you become arrogant. You start looking at people less than. And what seems to be, at least for me, from my eyes, in seeing what they did with George Floyd and even the way Ahmaud Arbery was treated just from one citizen to another, I mean, it's inhumane. I mean, this is intolerable.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Now, again, the Ahmaud Arbery situation was, to some extent, a bunch of guys that got in a fight. I mean, this became national news because one of the individuals had previously served on the local police department. But one of the other people involved is just his son, and I believe the third was a local attorney or some such. I mean, so part of the reason that those guys behaved so incompetently is that they weren't police officers at all.
Right.
So I often see that there's a tendency to try to bring people that were involved in these kind of disputes sort of in on the side of law enforcement. You saw this with George Zimmerman.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I'll tell you, we got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Dr. Wilfred Riley after this. Stay with us.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
This is Dan Perkins for Songs and Stories for Soldiers with your Veterans Tip of the Day. Did you know that May is Mental Health Awareness Month? And the VA, along with Prevents, is calling for you to help inspire a national challenge. Here's your Veterans Tip of the Day. Post a photograph or video on your social media channels of what you are doing to take care of yours and your fellow veterans' emotional well-being. Show us what works for you. It might be yoga, painting, running, singing, video chatting with loved ones, walking your dog, baking cookies, movie time with your family. One size does not fit all, but we all need to practice things that helps maintain good mental health during this challenging time. Be creative, serious, funny, or touching. Hashtag more than ever before and challenge your friends, colleagues, and family members to join the challenge. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Fresh and independent we are. It's 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Dr. Wilfred Riley continues with us, the political science professor at Kentucky State University, author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And, of course, here we are on this radio show where we pursue the truth no matter where it leads. So we just kind of mock the taboos, you know, understandably. I mean, not, you know. Without respect, I understand we need to be sensitive because, after all, at the end of the day, Dr. Riley, you know, we still need to communicate. And I want to communicate with people. I want to hear their stories, and I don't want them to feel some sense of invalidation or canceling like you do all over the place already. I mean, we need to get beyond this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we definitely need to be able to pretty much talk about anything because that is what produces knowledge to some extent. And the level of factionalization in the United States, if you will, is a pretty serious problem, where when something happens, returning to this thing that I've heard people from Ben Shapiro on the right over to serious commentators on the African-American left say, of this is something that pretty much everybody agrees on if you're talking about the Arbery and Floyd cases. And what you're seeing is the use of different platforms by people on the left, by people on the very hard right, by people representing organizations like Antifa, which unbelievably is on Twitter.
Exactly.
Taking these stances that are designed to promote their own institutional interests and saying things like, we just can't live together, as opposed to actually looking at what reality is. Reality is that most people get along 99% of the time, get up and go to work. And this is a fairly isolated incident involving some bad cops who happen to be majority non-white. So punish the officers and go on with life, I think, is how most people would handle this.
Right, exactly. But as you say, Antifa comes in, and they're taking over the narrative and igniting these riots in Minnesota.
And this is another point that I do think is fairly important. I mean, to some extent, the term outside agitator sounds like something a cranky uncle would say during the 1960s. Mm. But it's also extremely valid in this context. I mean, if you look at the work that people are doing on the ground, I believe it's Juan Rojas, who's the former Marine who's just walking around there with a camera. Andy Ngo, obviously, sort of gaslight journalist, is known for doing this kind of thing. And, I mean, one of the things that they're documenting is that they're very specifically, this isn't some conspiracy theory, are guys in the classic city kid black block getup. I mean, black from head to toe, sunglasses at night, weapons, that are participating in this rioting and that are inciting a lot of the more extreme activities. I mean, there's a crazy video on Twitter. If you Google Caucasian rioter with chainsaw,
yes,
you'll see that one guy literally brought a high-powered metal-cutting saw down to the riot scene and was doing things like chopping down lamp poles. That's not an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
So there are people that do this semi-professionally, that are traveling fighters for these activist groups. And you've seen this during, I mean, events going from Occupy Wall Street and the Seattle globalization protests forward.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of getting to the point here, there's a real question about how many of these rioters in Minneapolis are from that area of Minneapolis.
Exactly.
And how many of them came there from around the state or even the region to fight the police and,
So what do they care as outsiders if local businesses are burnt down and people lose more jobs on top of COVID-19, right?
Yeah, that, by the way, was one of the things that's most striking to me. There's an entire list of the businesses that have been burned or destroyed, at least at the level of all windows broken, and I guess they're cut off, that, again, you can find by Googling or Binging. And I would say that the majority of them, from some quick BBB research and just looking at the names, are black, Hispanic, Asian American-owned, smaller businesses that are in that area, which is, if you're talking about Lake Street, I mean, a diverse kind of working-class area of Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, once again, there's nothing particularly heroic about protesting racism by burning down, you know, a Hispanic-owned grocery store.
Right.
This has been a critique of the riots. I come from a very urban background, black and Irish American family. I'm from Chicago. And, I mean, this is something that people on both sides of my family have said for decades. I mean, if you're angry at the police, why would you burn down your neighborhood?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we saw that happen in the Watts riots, because I was born and raised in Southern California. And I remember one news reporter talking to a group of blacks, Dr. Riley, and, they were all pumped up and excited because LA was burning. And, it was getting late. And, the news reporter says, well, it's getting late. What are you going to do now? And, the guy says, well, you know, I'm going to go home, go to sleep. And the guy next to him says, you idiot, you burnt your house down.
So. That is, if true, that is a darkly hilarious story. And again, I do think that this to some extent gets into, the large number of the fighters at events like this who are from places other than the region affected. So I do want to emphasize this isn't necessarily just sort of working class idiots burning down their own neighborhood. The people that initiated some of those actual fires are almost certainly not from that area. I don't think that the dude with the chainsaw is from a black Minneapolis neighborhood.
Right.
Yeah, at root, there's very little positive effect of rioting. I mean, the social sciences, when people ask, what do you mean by social science? You actually can use modern techniques like regression to look at human behavior in psychology or political science rather than at, for example, interactions between chemical elements or something like that. You actually wouldn't use regression for that, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm, yeah.
And we in general find that things like street rioting don't have much of a positive effect on the political process. They don't really pass laws. In general, they increase the number of guns that are bought by people in an area. They decrease the number of resources that are available in that area. That's how you get quote-unquote food deserts and so on. And hopefully, we've mentioned dark humor a few times. You don't now see that area of Minneapolis in a couple of years doing something like applying for federal funding as a food desert because they burned down all the restaurants there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, like I said, I think we have to find a way. I don't know if it's possible because this has been going on forever, and maybe this is exacerbated by what people have had to endure under COVID-19. A lot of frustration. Again, we've seen Antifa. I mean, it's like, hey, look, it surfs up, and they all come out, and whether it's here or also riots breaking out in Los Angeles as well, Dr. Riley. But and you posed an interesting question on Twitter here. I don't know if you did it, or maybe you did it last month, and that was, you said, which of these bad things would you less like to see? 100,000 plus COVID-19 deaths, or three months plus of economic shutdown? And it was interesting the response that you got there.
Yeah, as I recall, it was extremely mixed. I mean, a fairly large number of people said they would prefer the economic shutdown. I think that comes from a lack of understanding of default position, by the way, because it is tough to ask these questions. I mean, unless you're perhaps a military general or something where you expect to as the day begins. Mm-hmm. But if you present to the average person, would you rather have 100,000 people die or would you rather have deep economic devastation across the country? Many people are going to say, well, a life is very valuable. As terrible as the economic devastation would be, we have to go with the lives. That, to me, represents a failure to understand that the default is that 3.1 million people die every year.
Right.
So there are exceptional events like war and so on that make us reevaluate national behavior. But in the context of that 3 million annual deaths from cancer, from heart disease, HIV hasn't gone anywhere, tuberculosis hasn't gone anywhere, my opinion was always that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to shut down to society to prevent a 100,000 additional deaths in that same, for example, senior age range where you see most deaths. That's an increase of the death rate by about 1/30. Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people necessarily went in with that sort of social scientific or military or actuarial variety of calculation, which makes a big difference. But one thing I will say about this, it's remarkable how COVID-19's kind of receded from the front pages during the past week and a half of these racial conflicts.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, and I think people have been worn out with the mixed messages and information that we've been getting and the models from day one, hundreds of thousands of people dying and the information, from these scientists that have been allowed to be elevated to God status of some sort. And then we're finding out that, hey, they're just as human as the rest of us, and they've been more wrong than right. And let's leave it at that. Dr. Wilfred Riley has been with us, author of the book Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. He's the political science professor at Kentucky State University. Will, always great to have you with us. Look forward to having you back.
Thanks. Always good to be here.
Here's Don Schenk with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
The nation of Pakistan is overwhelmingly influenced by Islam, and for those who do not follow the Muslim traditions, life can be difficult. In early 2020, the Tide Ministry began broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ in two languages in Pakistan, Pashto and Saraiki. The programming not only reaches new believers in Christ who have very few Christian resources and little to no support system, but also potential believers who have not yet heard what Jesus has done for them. In Pakistan, which is number 5 on Open Doors World Watch List, Christians face extreme persecution, and believers and ministry workers often face threats from fundamentalists who have a very unwelcome attitude towards Christianity.
For more information about how the Tide International Radio Ministry is impacting lives and sharing the gospel with new listeners in Pakistan, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A third night of violent protests in Minneapolis, seeing a police station and other nearby buildings set afire by demonstrators. The station evacuated. A helicopter had to save some of the officers who'd taken shelter on the roof of the building. Protests and riots have erupted across the Twin Cities, as well as in some other cities, in response to the death of George Floyd, who died while in police custody on Memorial Day. The lawyer for Floyd's family says they're not happy that the officers involved in his death have still not been charged.
George Floyd's family, who watched the press conference along with me, was disgusted.
Excessive heat warnings staying in effect throughout the Southwest as scorching temperatures have been soaring into the triple digits from Southern California to Nevada and Arizona. Temperatures will start to ease in California after today. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't have worried. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
We're back with the America, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Dr. John Zemerick joins us now from Scream.org. John, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. We got a lot of craziness going on. I mean, no sooner did we have the Ahmaud Arbery murder, and then we had what happened in Minneapolis with George Floyd. And, you know, Minneapolis is lighting up. It's spread to L.A., which is not a big surprise. That seems to be the case here. And protesters turning into rioters. This is not good.
No, and it's certainly no way to honor the memory of a citizen who's a victim, apparently, of excessive police violence. The right way to respond to something like this is to demand investigation and prosecution of the police if they're guilty, and certainly the evidence seems to point to that, and also to stick up for the Second Amendment. Citizens need to be able to protect themselves, you know. Citizens need to be, if they see something like this, if they see cops doing this, they should be able to demand the police stop, and they shouldn't be helpless. And they should be able to protect their stores and their property from rioters. The thing that appalled me most when I saw the video of Minneapolis was, where are the store owners? They're protecting their private property. Probably they're afraid they would go to prison if they defended their livelihoods, their businesses, from mobs of thugs using an an innocent victim of police violence as a pretext to steal flat-screen TVs.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's this kind of chaos in the streets that leads to destructive laws like the 1994 crime bill. But these civil rights leaders who claim that they're sticking up for the black community, what if they are involved in causing this kind of chaos, mm-hmm. instead of going through the proper channels? I mean, there's going to be a civil rights investigation by the federal government of this police violence. Mm-hmm. But if they stoke chaos in the streets, they're destroying their own communities, local yeah. businesses that'll never come back. They're damaging the people who live there and doing absolutely nothing mm-hmm. to fix the problem of excessive force by police.
Well, we saw this happen in Ferguson, in Baltimore, St. Louis, right on down, where there was a destruction of property and businesses. And, of course, right now in the midst of trying to come out of the results of COVID-19, when these businesses are doing everything they can to survive. And case in point, they found this morning one of the alleged perpetrators of a break-in, a grab-and-run situation. The store owner defended his property, and they found somebody dead in the sidewalk.
My fear is that if you tried to defend your property and you had to use force, you'd end up going to jail because the justice system would be so politicized. But you do have a right to do that. You have a legal and moral right to defend your property against someone breaking into your house or breaking into your store trying to steal your stuff. That is a serious crime, a potentially violent crime. And it's the collapse of order in the streets is just as serious a threat
exactly.
as the abuse of power by police. Both of those things are what characterize a broken country.
Right.
A failed state.
Well, to your point, John, just as much as the other police officers that were just standing by, not telling this guy, I mean, they had to know. I mean, police officers know that if you have your knee on somebody's throat right there on the cathartic artery, that this is going to create all kinds of damage and could lead to death. I mean, these are experienced people. They should have known better, and they did nothing, at least from what I saw from the video, to get that police officer off that guy's throat. I mean, he's handcuffed.
It's
he's defenseless.
A 40-year-old guy accused yeah. of forgery
or something. Yes, right.
A nonviolent yeah. crime. I mean, this is not a serial killer who's been biting policemen's fingers off. This is a guy who might have forged a check, okay? And I don't see any evidence that he was physically resisting the police. I mean, I've seen video that he complied.
Yes.
So something else is going on. Was there a personal grudge here? What was going on? This mm-hmm. is a very, I mean, the police abuse is a very serious thing that we should not allow this disgusting street violence to distract us from. Both things have to be taken care of. Both communities have to be protected. In terms of dealing, well, the same community, mm-hmm. the local citizenry, have to be protected from police abuse, and they have to be protected from mob violence.
Exactly.
Am I correct that the mayor of Minneapolis is a Democrat? I'm guessing.
Yes, I believe so. I believe that's the case.
It's another failed blue city. Mm-hmm. And what happened in the wake of the alleged police violence in those other cities was a spike in the crime rate and in the murder rate as the police backed off and the people who died, the additional deaths and additional crime victims were mostly from the black community, which originally was the one that suffered the police action. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like the rich white liberals in the suburbs are going to suffer when law enforcement withdraws from bad neighborhoods, dangerous neighborhoods. It's going to be the people living in those dangerous neighborhoods, the innocent, hardworking people. So it's just tragic on so many levels.
Well, and the thing is, as you say, the dynamics that flow here, you've got police on one side, and the other side, you've got the population itself that is being manipulated by professional rioters who have come into Minneapolis and are causing all kinds of problems. Let's forget about due process. And compared to what happened in Georgia, at least the police chief there in Minneapolis acted quickly, fired the four officers on the spot. But there's no doubt
they need to be in custody.
Exactly.
There's no reason for them walking around the streets because they are presumptively under great suspicion of murder. So, I mean, I think they should have been arrested right off the bat.
Exactly.
That might have prevented this. I've got a piece at stream.org that connects to the national crisis I'd love to talk about.
Yes, let's do. Go ahead.
Yeah. Essentially, the Democrats have admitted that their strategy for 2020 is the strategy that the terrorists took towards Patty Hearst. Lock her up, starve her, and wait till she's beaten down and suffers from Stockholm Syndrome and joins the side of her captors. What we see is that the Democrats want to prolong the national lockdown. The goalposts constantly are moving. Originally, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve in hospitals. Well, guess what? The curve never overwhelmed hospitals. But governors like Cuomo in New York and Whitmer in Michigan dumped virus patients from nursing homes. Virus patients from hospitals into nursing homes empty out beds for the tsunami of marathon runners and triathletes who supposedly were going to need ventilators in hospitals. None of that turned out to be true. Thousands of elderly people died needlessly in nursing homes of this virus. So what part of this makes sense to you? The most vulnerable population are elderly people. Let's flood the nursing homes where these people live with virus patients.
Exactly.
But we just want to save one life, as Andrew Cuomo said on television. Clearly, saving lives is not what the Democrats are interested in. They're interested in crashing the economy and keeping it crashed until the day after the election, assuming that they win.
John, to your point, how does it make sense? I mean, when we had the first outbreak out in the West in Washington, it was at a nursing home. And, I mean, the impact that that had, if that wasn't telling enough for everybody across the country that we needed to protect the elderly, that was the perfect case in point. And you have Cuomo coming out and saying, oh, it was Donald Trump's fault.
Remember this. Joe Biden's main advisor on coronavirus is named Ezekiel Emanuel. He's Rahm Emanuel's brother,
right.
The guy who invented the word, never let a crisis go to waste.
Mm-hmm.
Ezekiel Emanuel says that nobody over age 75 should be given any life-saving medication because life after 75 is not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Joe Biden's main guy on the virus.
Why are we surprised, John? Why are we? I mean, this is the same.
It's basically euthanasia by virus.
Right.
Totals of deaths nice and high so they can justify the lockdown, so they can crash the economy, so they can win the election. Now, that sounds like some crazy conspiracy theory? It would to me if I hadn't read this. In Politico, which is a left-leaning magazine, they reported that the top economist in the Obama administration, his name is Jason Furman, he's now a Harvard professor, on May 26th he had a Zoom meeting with a bipartisan group of public officials. It was done online.
John, we got to go to a quick break. We'll pick it up from there when we come back. More from John Zemeric after this. Stay with us.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever, so call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% 9% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
So, I don't know if you saw this, but there's just this big study about anxiety among us. Really interesting in this study about what can keep us up at night. One of the top stressors of all the things to worry about is paying for healthcare. A huge majority of us say we're worried about that. It's totally understandable, but there's an affordable alternative to health insurance. It's MediShare. It's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it has worked beautifully for more than 25 years. And not only do people save lots of money, they get access to a huge network of doctors. They get to take advantage of 24/7 live access online where they can talk to a doctor and even get prescriptions. And of course, there is the savings. With MediShare, the typical family saves $500 a month. That can help you sleep easier, too. There's a lot to love about it. No wonder it's grown so much. Here is the number to find out more. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of a gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Dr. John Zemarek from Stream.org continues. John, you were on a roll here, and you were making a critical point. I want you to finish this point clearly. Go ahead.
Politico magazine has reported that Obama's top economist predicts that if we stop the lockdown, there'll be a huge economic recovery. Politico also reports that another former top Obama official is extremely worried about that, and that top policy officials on the Biden campaign are extremely worried about that. They're openly saying, though they're not giving their names, that they want the economy to remain crashed, people to remain unemployed, suicides to continue. The devastation of small businesses, they want all that in order to win the election. Bill Maher actually said the quiet part out loud last year. He said, we need a recession or else Trump's going to be reelected. So it's quite clear to me that beating the country down, starving it, holding it prisoner, closing the churches, keeping the abortion clinics open, making everyone dependent on checks from the government. This is what hostage takers do. It's what they did to Patty Hearst. And eventually, after months of this and worse, she was subjected to rape, God help her. Her psyche broke, and she decided to join her captors and help them rob banks. That, I am not exaggerating, that is the Democrats' strategy for winning the 2020 election. They want another Great Depression like 1932 because they want another landslide like FDR's. And he got to remake the country. They said they want to remake the country. The Green New Deal is so radical and so crazy. It's like what the Bolsheviks did in Russia. And all the top Democrats have lined up behind it. So what we're seeing, combine all this with the push to mail ballots out to every house in America. Oh, there'll be no voter fraud. Don't worry about it.
Right.
The Democrats never accepted the 2016 election. Mm-hmm. They undermined the president. They made false charges that he committed treason. People were talking about hanging him, putting him in prison. They whipped up the whole fake Russia collusion hoax. They tried to destroy the life of General Mike Flynn, Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, just people who innocently committed the crime of joining the Trump campaign.
And wanting to serve the country, John.
That's right. These people, it's like Samson when he tore down the temple on top of himself. Yeah. These people are willing to break the country so that they can rebuild it from the pieces in the shape of their little private utopias that they got by studying Marxism in college.
This is how desperate for power, as Lindsey Graham pointed out, that they are. But look at all this is being exposed, and so it's up for we the people to make the decision. I mean, you already are hearing from a party that is offering something that already 70% of America does not want. I mean, it's not even a clear choice. It is absolutely empirical, and it's clearly delineated, but yet they continue to push on because it's all about power for them.
Yeah, look what they were willing to do to Nick Sandman, an innocent kid who was standing still waiting for the bus coming out of a pro-life rally. They were willing to completely obliterate his life. There were people calling for him to be assaulted. There were people saying they needed to contact every college he applied to and every employer he ever applied to after college and make sure he never got to study anywhere or work again. When people are accustomed to wielding power, some of them get addicted to it.
Yes.
And the Obama years, he promised a fundamental transformation of the country. A lot of white liberals saw him as a messiah figure. He would purge us of our national guilt. He would introduce a post-racial America. We would be healed. We would be resurrected. I mean, it was practically a cult of Obama, like he was Barack Obama superstar.
Yeah, and the Messiah,
Right, when none of that happened under him, and they assumed, well, at least we'll hold on to power under Hillary. They did not expect to lose the election. We saw hysterical, nervous breakdowns.
Well, they were told they weren't. It was impossible for them to lose the election. This is this big setup by the mainstream media. They lied to these thirsty individuals that were dying for control and power, and they were told, you're going to get it. You know, we're going to crown the queen. It's already been predetermined. And when the numbers came out and it didn't play out, well, then the only way it could have happened that way is because Donald Trump cheated, and it had to be the Russians. after Obama had clearly said that the Russians did not change one vote, remember?
That's right. Well, remember that they dubbed themselves the Resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Where does that come from? That comes from World War II, from the Nazis marching into Paris. So to people in blue states, to America's elites, red state voters walking to the polls are the equivalent of Nazis marching down Pennsylvania Avenue. And what did the resistance do in France? They sabotaged everything. They wrecked trains. They blew up electrical stations. They tried to bring the whole country to its knees in order to make it useless to the Nazis. So when the Democrats said they were the resistance, they were saying, you are the Nazis. Mm-hmm. And we are willing to destroy the country rather than let you people take power in it. That is how much they hate us. That is how much they think we are the enemy. The left is acting in America the way the left acted during the Spanish Civil War, when they looted churches and killed priests and set fires and tried to destroy the very people who disagreed with them. That is what the left is apparently willing to do. Look what they've done to the economy.
Exactly. And look at the carnage that was left in their wake. You touched a little bit about it as far as, Spain was concerned. But, throughout Europe, the millions of people that died as a result of this kind of manipulation and this kind of thirst for power. This is what's at our doorstep, John.
And you remember how hard the left clung to power in 1989. They tried everything they could do to rig elections, to hold on to power with their corrupt communist regimes. The left in America is doing something very similar. I think there's going to be if there's mail vote by mail, there's going to be a massive wave of voter fraud.
Right.
I mean, they might take old ballots from Eastern Europe and just that are already filled in and use those. I mean, you're going to see the Democrats win by 99.9% to 0.01%. the old totalitarian tactics have come back to life again.
And well, kind of like what we saw during with one of Obama's election cycles. I think it was Pennsylvania. What, 58, 59 voting districts voted 100%? That's impossible.
But you have
Eric Holder looking at the camera and telling us that voter fraud just doesn't exist. It's impossible. And I go, well, why do people keep getting, you know, arrested, indicted, and they're spending time in jail for voter fraud, Attorney General?
Yeah, it's astonishing. Really, I mean, the left has treated this virus the way the Nazis treated the Reichstag fire, as an excuse to suspend the Constitution. You don't have freedom of worship. You don't have freedom of assembly. You don't have the freedom to open your business and make a living. I mean, how much power could these people grab in the name of a virus that mostly kills the elderly and that they are dumping on the elderly in nursing homes? How stupid are people?
Exactly.
How dumb are Democrat voters? If they really believe that Andrew Cuomo wanted to save lives when he dumped virus patients at VA hospitals and nursing homes, but he closes down the beaches to protect the starfish.
Exactly. And John, I got to tell you, you know, when we speak of the churches in terms of our liberties, I mean, they are included in the Constitution.
Yeah.
And they cowered.
I am
disappointed, you know, by their response. There were a couple of pastors who said, hey, I'm still open. We're still going to open the doors. And they got fined. And, you know, God bless them for their courage. But where were all the other churches coming alongside and responding to their constitutional right for the sake of their constituency? And for that matter, where are the people of faith?
Yeah, I mean, I understand being cautious. I understand maybe for a few weeks suspending services because we didn't know what the virus was. Initial reports said that it could linger in the air for up to 6 hours. Of course, if that were the case, the whole society would be destroyed.
Exactly.
Because everybody would get, but the thing is, apparently it's not that different from previous related viruses, and it seems likely that this virus is going to disappear in a month or two. It's just going to vanish the way SARS vanished, the way Ebola vanished. If it does, what will the Democrats do then? Mm-hmm. What will be the next crisis they grab hold of and try to use? Because they're not willing to lose this election. If Donald Trump is reelected, I'm afraid they will resort to violence.
Right.
Open political violence. You already have Kathy Griffin calling
again
for the assassination of the
again
president. But
I mean,
he explicitly said someone should inject him with a bubble of air so that he has a brain aneurysm. Why is this woman not in Gitmo under questioning?
Exactly. No, this is getting carried away. But this is what's happening, whether it's in the streets of Minneapolis with rioting taking place and even, you know, happening in Los Angeles because you have these professional rioters. But this is what it's come down to. This is what's in our country. The enemy no longer is existential. It lives amongst us, and it's going to require patriots to take a stand and take a hard stand, you know, for freedom, John. Otherwise, we're going to get overrun.
I think the Democrats were panicking that a lot of black Americans are seeing that economic policies of Donald Trump benefit them because he's a patriot and he sees them as fellow Americans who deserve his advocacy as much as anyone else. And so they want to grab any possible racial incident, no matter how appropriate Trump's response to it is. I mean, the DOJ is doing civil rights cases in these examples of police violence. That's the most the federal government is able to do under the Constitution.
Yeah, we got to leave it right there, John. No, excellent. God bless you. There he is, Dr. John Zemeric. Thank you, John. Take care, buddy. Be blessed.
Bye-bye.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.